Hello, Steve Aoki.
You got that sample.
That was from House Party when you did a mix and a little interview for House Party about a month ago, I guess, announce that you were coming to Australia for We Love Sounds.
That's cool.
How are you going, sir?
I'm good.
You are, you know, the founder of Dim Mac Records, so many remixes. Do you have a count of how much music you've put out? Because it's like only one actual album and one coming. But
right. Well, as far as my own tracks, I have my debut solo album coming out very soon. It's not quite done yet, so I don't want to just say like it's going to come out a certain month. But yeah, it's about 10 tracks. A bunch of features from Kelly from Block Party, Rivers Cuomo from Weezer, Little John, Kid Cudi, Super Black.
I saw you had Travis Barker.
Travis Barker.
From Blink 182.
Right. Well, we did this track together. I wrote the heaviest track for the album, and I just thought it would make sense for him to do the track on drums because he's one of the best drummers in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And he, like, when we talked earlier, he's like, yo, let's do like a heavy track together. So, brought that in the studio. He killed it on the drums, went back into my studio, did the vocals over it. And, I've been, kind of practicing it out live, debuting the track out here. So I'll be playing it live on the Sydney Festival.
Right. And how's it been going in the shows around Australia?
I feel like it's working. Mm-hmm. There's definitely some tweaks I need to do. I kind of wrote some just rough lyrics for the track just to fit with the vibe of my set. I'm still working on it, but I feel like it's working.
Yeah. What are some of the rough lyrics?
We are the Misfits. That's like one of them.
Cool. You could get Doyle from the Misfits to sing that line.
That'd be pretty cool.
Steve Aoki is in the studio. Actually, that's an interesting thing. I was talking to Tom from the Chemical Brothers about that idea of before you release an album, and even an album that is predominantly electronic, testing it in front of people and then having to make those tweaks. What do you look for to know do you need to make those tweaks?
A good example would be I finished a track for Little John's album called Oh What a Night, which is definitely my most commercial sounding record that I produced. And I did lots of tweaks on that record and I tested it out in multiple different audiences. And it's best to just let it play and see how the crowd reacts. Cause the crowd's going to give you a response to how they're, you know, vibing on the track. Yeah. Unless like you initiate that with them by like doing, you know, gestures and stuff like that. But, I was really just following the crowd. Kind of seeing like, oh, you know, and hearing it in a loud system with that environment of that, you know, of all of the people around and everything like that, you know, with that environment, you can actually pick out things that you didn't pick out. Like, oh, we could add a hi-hat there. Like, you know, take out the kick here. There's too much drums here, you know, stuff like that. It's really kind of, it's almost like adding and subtracting drums.
Right.
It's not really like adding, subtracting synths so much.
Your record label, Dim Mac, you had the Von Bondies, the Rakes, Block Party, you did this American stuff for Block Party.
Uh-huh.
The Bloody Beetroots, you are responsible for the Bloody Beetroots. And aren't you in a punk band with some of those dudes?
Bob and I started a band called Rafoki, which is basically our last names. And we put out an EP this year, and we are recording an album in January, a full-length album, so... Yeah, we actually perform the tracks in our sets. So, like, the Bloody Beetroots actually will play, like, a couple of tracks from our Rafoki sessions, and then I'll drop some songs in my set as well, so...
It's a very communal sort of thing, the Dim Mac Records. I know Tom York came out today, this week, and said that the record label, as it's known traditionally, is dead, but your record label doesn't work like traditional record labels. Like, you don't even make any money from the sales of the records, do you?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a funny business because it really isn't really a business for me. But the way it works is that we have our own staff. I don't take a salary.
Mm-hmm.
I never have taken a salary because it is my own business. So, you know, we let the money circulate within the company to handle, you know, the staff, employees, and the rent and the overhead and marketing costs, press costs, the royalties, the mechanicals.
Mm-hmm.
And after all that, you know, there really isn't much money to go around. So we just keep it within the system and let it sail on its own.
Is that because it sounds like Black Flag's record label, for instance? Does that sort of thing happen a lot in the dance music arena?
I think with indie labels in general, you have to be able to have that, you have to go into the business knowing that it's not a money-making venture. There's not like a ROI at the end of the year. You know,
what's ROI mean?
Return on your investment.
Oh, well, I'm glad that I don't know what that means.
You know, like there's other businesses I'm involved in that actually do make money and you know, they subsidize the label.
All right, this is like your fashion stuff.
Right, the fashion, the DJ business, you know, and then like the other little things I'm working on. Like actually, George, Dan, and from Subi and myself are opening a restaurant in July.
You're opening a restaurant as well.
Yeah, so it's more of local. It's a local LA thing with Australians. You know, so that's pretty interesting with the kind of menu that we're going to open up with.
Oh, is it going to be like the Outback
organic
steak?
Food.
All right, not Outback Steakhouse style menu. I was in America. They got that thing at the Outback Steakhouse. It's like a deep fried onion that sort of opens up. And they say that is a piece of traditional Australian food.
Now, and that is it?
No, I'm pretty sure. Right, so you are a very busy person, and still yet have time to come to Australia because you've got so many friends in Australia, I guess, as well.
Yeah, well, mainly Sydney. Sydney's like my home away from home.
Right,
I love coming out here, and yeah, I mean, Australia is definitely one of my favorite countries to tour in, into. So
you're just saying that because you're marrying an Australian.
Yeah, she's actually right around the room. Yeah, I got to give a shout out to Eamon. That's my boy. That's her brother.
Let's have a listen to. Hey, let's have a listen to the remix that you did for Kid Cudi, who's going to be on your album. This is Pursuit of Happiness, as fixed up by Steve Aoki on Triple J. Kid Cudi on Triple J, the Steve Aoki remix of Pursuit of Happiness, saved with the language warning by Steve Aoki at the start. That's and he's going to be on the album that you are finally going to release, your first solo album.
Yeah.
Which you're hoping to put out at some stage before the end of the year.
I'm trying. I'm really trying. I mean, I was trying to finish it before I left on this tour, but it's tough, man. Like with the tour schedule and then like my limited amount of studio days and then working with vocalists that are, like, you know, some of them are across the world, and they have their own schedules, their own timelines, their own albums, you know.
We're talking Kelly from Block Party. We're talking Rivers from Weezer, amongst many others. You're doing some stuff with who else are you doing stuff with?
I lost
the thing that I was...
Oh, yeah. Black Star, Sky Ferreira, Kid Cudi, Super Black, I mean, Travis Barker.
Yeah,
and so forth.
He doesn't sing though, does he? He's a general.
No. We were like a heavy track together.
Yeah. And speaking of you know, your many friends in the music world, you have when you were at college, you had a living room where you just had bands playing. We're talking at the drive-in. like it sounds amazing. Jimmy Eat World, Chick 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 playing in your living room.
Yeah. Well, it's Santa Barbara, so it's not like L.A. And L.A., you know, they have venues everywhere. Santa Barbara, there really was like one club venue that most artists played. But we built this kind of like a kind of romanticized punk space for a lot of bands and agents to be like, oh, yeah, we want to play there because everyone's talking about this place. The Pickle Patch, that was the name of our little living room. It's funny because when the At The Drive-In came, I remember Blaze James was their manager, and he was hitting me up a few times. He's like, yo, I really want my band to play. This is during In Casino Out, the first time when they gave me that CD, and I actually didn't really like it. So I was like, I don't know if it fits with what we're doing. But then they sent it again. I was like, oh, actually, I'm totally stupid. This is amazing. Mm-hmm. Let's get the band to play. And they came in their van, and you know, they had two vans, and they're like, you gotta be kidding me! It's a living room. Like this is not really happening, right? I'm like, this has always been a living room. We've been doing this for years. We've had like, you know, we had over like 400 something bands play in this living room. I mean, that's originally how I met the Kills was from Discount, which was Allison's band.
I know.
Band.
I toured with Discount in 1997. As a matter of fact,
so Allison played with Ann Beretta and another. Gainesville band.
Less than Jake?
No, it was like, it wasn't Hot Water Music, but it was like one of those kinds of bands.
Yeah,
you know?
Sort of emo, screamo kind of stuff.
Exactly. And then we became friends from that, and it was like an amazing show. But, you know, from that point on, we stayed in touch. When Allison moved to London, that band actually was the reason why I decided to continue doing my label in 2002 and release the Kills record, then go to graduate school. Because I had an option. We got into two different programs, and I was like, well, what should I do? What should I do? And then, I was talking to Allison. I was like, I have this new band. And mm-hmm. It was before Domino actually released the record. And I was like, fuck, this is so good. It's just so good. It's like something I've never heard before.
Is that the Rooster EP? Or is that
Black Rooster EP, yeah.
Wow.
And then that really jump-started the label as well. You know, it was Dimmock 36, 2002. That was a really big jump start for mm-hmm. for myself. I finished college. I was like, I'm free. I can go on tour with you guys. I started tour managing the band, just traveling with them. Did the U.S. a few times. I went to Japan with them a few times. Was signing bands on the road while being their tour manager. Mm-hmm. That's when I ended up signing the Von Bondies and put out the Gossip record and put out Soledad Brothers and more rock and roll mm-hmm. records. And then 2003 is when Block Party sent their demo to me, and I was like floored by that, and then developed them and really kind of that was like my next project, mm-hmm.
Wow. And so what stage did you just move into making your own banging tunes?
Obviously my source, I was never a house kid. Mm-hmm. I was always a punk kid, even rock. I was a punk kid in the very beginning stages of all music for me growing up. And so I transforming from being in a studio with live instruments and going from that world to a computer.
Mm-hmm.
That was by the time I stopped recording live music in 2002, I started producing elementary remixes. My first remix was Block Party Helicopter under the name Weird Science.
So just something to put out with your label, sort of.
Right, yeah. So we put that out. It was a Diplo remix and the Weird Science remix in 2005. Did that one on Dimmock, and that was my first step into Pro Tools and, writing with my two fingers. So it's been 10 years.
Yeah.
And it was never an intention, I'm going to finally release an album. I was just I'm just DJing, it's fun, and put out a mix. I was I put out the Pillow Face mix in 2000, mm-hmm. 2008, I think, or 2000, I forgot, 2007. And I was I'll just invite some friends to sing on it. So then I got Santo Gold and Uffy and Spank Rock and Amanda mm-hmm. Blank and, just mixes. And then some of my remixes on there. And now I'm finally ventured in heavy duty the last 2 years of really producing original tracks and working with other producers. I have this album coming out, and then I have a bunch of fun singles with other producers that, mm-hmm. that are meant for the club, because the album is really meant for the albums, more song craftsmanship around the singers and vocalists that I work with. And these tracks I wrote with other producers are more like clubs. This is the fun sets that I'm trying to play out.
And that's what you're going to be playing for this weekend as well, just fun club banging tunes.
Yeah.
On Triple J, that is the Kills, Cat Claw, off the Black Rooster EP, which was the first record and release that Steve Aoki put out with Dim Mac Records. And now you are here. It's probably fair to say that probably won't get a run at We Love Sounds.
Who knows?
There'll be a lot more banging tunes. But look, there can be so many. You're playing this Saturday, tomorrow in Sydney, We Love Sounds. And then in Sunday, you're at Winter Sound System in Brisbane during the day. And then you fly to Melbourne. No wonder you got no time to put your album out. And then Monday, the public holiday in Adelaide, the final We Love Sounds. That is, it's all very exciting. And then do you have some time to go home and work?
Yeah, that's the plan. This is my, I have 3 days. And then there's a big festival called EDC happening. Electric Daisy Carnival. So one of the bigger festivals in America. So I got 3 days to work and then get back into the ground.
And is it
again.
Just, you just get back and just have to go to work? It's just,
Yeah. It's literally every single day I have in LA is a studio day. So it's either I'm working on a track with a vocalist, just mm-hmm. finish the embellishments and just get that done, or just try to finish new tracks. But at this point, I'm done with all that. Mm-hmm. I'm done with writing new songs.
Yeah.
I'm just finishing off the tracks. It's hard. You you like get done with the track and then you listen to it a week later, like, oh god, now you gotta change this.
The
and then sometimes rewrite the whole song. You know,
you're your own record label, so there's no one cracking the whip and saying you've got to get this out now. You've got the time to indulge, I guess, which is a problem. Well, I hope you don't indulge too much longer, because I'm sure we would love to check it out. Tomorrow, We Love Sounds in Sydney, and Sunday in Brisbane and Melbourne, the Winter Sound System in Brisbane and Melbourne that night, and Adelaide, the final We Love Sounds on the Monday public holiday. Steve Aoki, thank you very much, sir.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
That's awesome. And we didn't even mention the human centipede.
Oh, man.
And we shall not.
Oh, man. I haven't even seen that movie yet.
No one wants to. It's the Doctor on Triple J.